You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The upside of failure.
It's 11 minutes past two. You know, so often we focus on people's stories, on how they succeeded, but we never really take a look and glean at the moments of failure. We just simply regard that as stories. And the reality is that discussing failure can have a huge impact on people of all ages. There was a study that was done with science students, and they found that high school students, their grades improved after they learned about the personal and the intellectual struggles of scientists, including people like Marie Curie and Einstein. So there's something in there about what we learn, what talking about failure does for all of us. And so success is limited, but failure is universal and it's inevitable. Yet we really don't put enough of a focus on it. And so on Fridays, we bring you the upside of failure. And today we're speaking to Tshepo Mohlala. Tshepo is the founder of a denim brand, Tshepo Jeans. This isn't the first time he's been on the show. He was born in Tsakane into a family of stylish queens. And they demanded only the best mswenko, as in, you know, that he himself dresses well from the time he was really young, especially his grandmother. And it was their influence, in fact, that led him to found his jean company. There's also a famous story about how he got an 8,000 rand loan to build this business, which has just continued to grow from strength to strength. And he joins us now. I think what he has done as a business, what he's built a business that is a shining example of localization. Tshepo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lasagna. It feels so good to be back on the show.
Yes, it's good to have you back. I saw the other day the UCT vice chancellor was also buying a pair of jeans from you. And she looked so good.
I melted when she walked in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, is this real? Or am I
dreaming? Lovely moment. But also congratulations on the Woolies collaboration. Those t-shirts are simply powerful because you have We the People, which is the preamble to our constitution.
Absolutely. I think for us, we just wanted to share the story of how South Africa is so beautiful. The vision that the country was founded on back in the 30 years ago. You know, not so many of us know the vision of the country where a guy who was a activist and a communist and an apartheid guy and all different diversities came together on one table and are like, what is the vision of this country? Where do we want to see ourselves in the next 25 years? And I think for us in these different times, we just wanted to remind people that this vision still governs us, and we are the real history makers, not the government, but we the people are responsible for what's happening in the world.
Wow. And then accompanied with that is that crown logo, the crown with the three peaks, which is what we associate, of course, with your brand. So it just strikes me as very powerful.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate that you own it and you show the world and you wore it with pride.
Yes. But it's also a critical time, right? And this partnership with a major retailer is significant in the sense that everybody's looking, or different countries are looking within, you know, to do more from within so that their economies continue to run. And so this partnership or efforts such as this couldn't have come at a better time. What are some of the challenges faced by the, not just textile, but the fashion industry due to COVID?
Sure. I think for us, we took a very big dip just before it literally became extensive and very heavy. Mm. You know, we wanted to launch our ladies range. And unfortunately, due to the pandemic, some of the staff got stuck in customs for a good 6 weeks. You know, it's been just a very big impact on our business because most of our fabrics come abroad. And the exchange rate just went higher. So a lot of things, we just had to sit down and say, what can we do as a business and stay afloat, fire people, but what can we do to keep the business afloat? And, you know, we created a mask and it started going and we failed through the process. You know, I remember when we just launched and in a day we had over 1,000 orders and we had a very bad system of managing how things come in. We had a deadlock of 3 months already within 2 days.
Wow.
So like it presented a new opportunity that, you know, as an innovative, as a creative, as a businessman, that you always have to be innovative, you have to think forward, you have to think ahead, and also think about the people that you have. You know, I have families that we taking care of, and COVID has just taught us how to move differently.
Mm-hmm.
It taught us how to be, you know, it's innovative with what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and the right collaboration and being in the right spaces at the right time and captivating on the moment.
Yes, you know, some might think, oh, that's a nice problem to have 1,000 orders or thousands of orders, more than what you had anticipated. You know, we think of the cash till just going and going, but it's actually really, really stressful and can also prove to be quite a burden on a business.
It is very stressful. I mean, disappointing people, it's one of the hardest things for any entrepreneur to face. When late deliveries are not the most beautiful thing, because then people don't come back to you. The ripple effect, if you don't handle the situation well, you probably have lost a customer forever. And that's what we learned, is that good customer service had to prevail. Communication had to prevail. The right people on the tour had to be there. The right team has to be there. And it was extremely hard. I think when I was talking to one of my friends earlier on, I was like, I think one of the biggest challenges that I've faced as an entrepreneur is building a right team who gets it, who gets the moment, and who can also deliver at the level that Tabo, as a person, if I'm not there, can deliver. And I think it still prevails within so many big corporates that you can find in 8,000 people in a business with 8,000 people, but like the business is really standing on 100, you know. And for me, it's like, as a small business, how do I get my whole team to be at the same level as me, at the same pace as me, chasing the same thing? Because we are all built. If I fail, we all fail. If I succeed, we all succeed.
You know, Tabo, that's such an interesting thing that you are sharing there, because you cannot give other people the same drive that you have. You know, you can't transfer it to them. No matter how beautiful your motivational talks can be, no matter the incentive, you can't give other people the same passion and level of commitment that you have to your business. And I think, as you say, that can be one of the most frustrating things in running a team. And then at the same time, you will get people who are willing to give a lot.
Absolutely.
But I don't know whether for some entrepreneurs that's even enough. You almost want them to mirror you. And at the same time, they're not the founder. Yeah. You know, they're not the owner of the brand.
You know, right now we're busy hiring, and you know, my team and I, we're like, we don't hire based on the position, but we hire based on attitude. And because we want to have people in the business for the next 10, 30 years who want to walk the journey with us, you know, because we're going very far. And so we hire based on attitude. We hire based on culture fit, because I believe that people with talent can move around. You know, we had a lady who started doing our website. And from website, she moved from website to doing procurement, doing social media. So she was the right culture fit.
Mm.
And it takes a lot of time and a lot of, you know, pampering people and like having conversations with them to find the right person to fit the culture, who, when they're sleeping at home, they're thinking, I think this could work for the business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very tough. But I think also as an entrepreneur, as the owner, as the founder, it's my responsibility to make sure that I find the right people and always listen to my gut feeling.
Yes. Well, let's take a break, Tabo, and we're going to come back to some of the pointers, the areas, the upside of your failures after this. My guest is Tabo Mohlala, the man behind the jeans, Tabo Jeans. And you can find the t-shirts with We The People. Support local, because this is a collaboration between major retailer Woolworths and different creatives such as Tabo, people like Papama, who brought us Africa Your Time Is Now. They've partnered with Woolworths, of course, to help stimulate and to do more for the local fashion industry.
702.
The upside of failure.
Hanging out with Tshepo Mohlala, the founder of Tshepo Jeans, as we explore his journey and the moments with lessons, loads of lessons that have come through moments of failure. Tshepo, you know, building a brand, as you've said on the show before, that you want to build a brand that will outlive you, right? Means incredible lessons along the way. It means evolving personal relationships. You also talk about how you burnt a number of bridges. Talk to me about that and the why you deem that to have been a failure.
I think, when the business started, it was more based on bespoke denims. And, you know, you'd get an order from a retailer or maybe a shop, a coffee shop, and you'd promise them, I will deliver within a month. And a whole lot of things happen with production, then you can't deliver on time. And I think for me at the time, when as a young entrepreneur, when I burnt a lot of bridges, was based on my communication skills, that I wasn't communicating with the customers, with the consumers on time, and you know, managing expectations. And I happened to have burnt so many bridges because I couldn't deliver on time, but mainly on quality, but it was based on delivery on time, based on what you promised. And over the years, I've learned that, you know, as a businessman, and that's what I try to teach my team, or have my team be on the same level, that if there's a delay, manage your expectation with the consumer, because people do understand mistakes do happen. Let's just manage our expectation with people so that we do not burn any bridges, and not people shouldn't be talking bad about us. I went there, but like, you know, they didn't do the things on time, they didn't do it right, they didn't communicate with me. And those are the bad taste that we've had. So I mean, a lot of bad taste that we've had from a lot of young black entrepreneurs is that we don't deliver on time, we don't communicate, we don't do that. So for me, it's like, let's change the status quo now. Now that we've learned, and I've trial and error, and now it's, I think most of my customers who have been with us for the past 5 years are the guys that I fan twitches with, and I had to humble myself and say, hey guys, I know I messed up, I was younger, it's not an excuse, but I apologize, and I just wanted to be friends of the brand. Wow. You know, and I've seen more business coming back from that, and it has helped our business to grow, to go to places that I couldn't have imagined. And it has been through the people who've had probably one of the worst experiences with our brand and our business. And I think that's one of my biggest and most valuable lessons that I can ever take from being an entrepreneur, a founder, a businessman, and a person who comes from a very vulnerable background, you know, and not being able to communicate has been one of my biggest errors. And that's one thing that I've learned to overcome over the years. And
yes,
communication has been one of my biggest successes.
You know, a lot comes to mind with what you've just said now, Tshepo, because as you said, you know, being a young entrepreneur with the background that you had, here you are now with this brand, this product. People are enjoying it, but there are these failures in delivery, right? And we do tend to be really harsh on each other, I find. We give more grace, we forgive bigger brands, for instance. We forgive the big guy, the foreign guy, as in the foreign business, right? We forgive them. But we are very hard on local operators. We're very hard on the small guy. And dare I say, we're also hard on each other, black on black. You know, you let me down, and after that, I'm not back there.
So I think, and you know, I just had a meeting now with this one guy, and I was like, I'm very pedantic about quality now. Like every time when anything has to leave my place or a product has to go to a customer, I am extremely crucial, you know, because I understand our black people and our local people, when it's made locally or it's come from locally, they overanalyze it. So there shouldn't be a wrong stitch. Nothing should be wrong. And I think, and I appreciate the environment, because it kind of preparing us for the big league, the belly of the beast in terms of business. You know, when you go to the UK, these are people who've had quality for a year, for centuries. And if you want to compete with those type of people, you need to be on point. And I appreciate those lessons. And we as a business, we don't take it lightly. As an entrepreneur, I do not take it lightly. I appreciate sometimes it's painful. But it's a journey that we have to walk. It's a journey that we have to eventually get over it. You know, if Teppo does a good pair of jeans or creates a very beautiful brand, it opens up a bigger industry for localization and trust from our South African brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Thokozani calling us from Tzakane. Hi, Thokozani.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm fine. No, I just wanted to congratulate Teppo. Like years ago, we used to church together.
Oh, okay.
And they took him and his friend. yes, Teppo.
What's up, brother?
they used to sell second-hand jacket, him and his friend, Spool from Spool's Skinny Socks.
Yeah.
And there was this guy who was part of the church. He bought one of the jackets and he said, you know what, Bazalwane, these guys are going somewhere. And in one day, we'll be buying stuff from them.
Mm.
And when I see him now and Skinny Spool, what he's doing, and remembering what that guy said, and understanding where they come from, I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of their success. And I'm very, very proud of their hard work. It makes life much more easier. And it shows that whenever you have a dream, no matter how hard it is, if you push yourself, you can always get it. So I'm very proud of them. Him and Kim Swoop, they are very wonderful guys.
Wonderful. Thokozani.
Thank you so much, Thokozani.
Thank you for the call. And let's take a listen to this voice note as well, except as we wrap up.
Hi, Azania. Farouk from Observatory here. Halala, Teppo, halala. This is a fellow Gautswane boy.
Oh.
I farmed goats in that area in 2013 and got to know the strength of the women from there. So all the stuff that Tep was doing now is because of that granny and other women from his famous Gautswane in the greater Tubatsi area.
Mm.
That's all coming through. Much success, guy. Much success. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you so much.
It was such lovely messages for you, Teppo.
Well, appreciate it. Appreciate it so much.
Yes. You've transitioned the brand, you know, over the different area, the different moments or the different eras of growth. What's the next phase?
Sure. The next phase is super exciting. I can't wait to launch my first flagship store at Hyde Park Corner, first week of December. It is redefining what luxury is in terms of look, in terms of feel, in terms of experience. Wow. Not just clothes, it's going to be an experience. So we're super, super excited for opening up our first store.
Yeah.
We're working very hard with my team, and Hyde Park Corner is also assisting us in making sure that we look beautiful, we're well presented, working with a very world-class architect who's currently starting to build from next week, Monday. You know, this is the dream that I've been waiting for. When they shared with us the CAD drawings, and I was like, when I saw them, I was like, yeah, it's a world within a world. You know, if you think of Wonderland, that's what you're building. You're going to walk in there and everything around you disappears and you're just in this space and you're going to experience what true African denim is.
Lovely. Oh, Teppo, that's so beautiful. Sachin has written in saying, having worked with Teppo, I can tell you firsthand that his focus and dedication to playing the long game and building a sustainable brand is amazing. And he says, keep growing. Teppo, all of the best. Thank you so much
for talking to
us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I hope you come to our launch. I'll send you the invitation.
Absolutely. That's Teppo Mohlala, the founder of Teppo Jeans.